As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Tuesday, the 16th of April. I'm Michael Bailey, and on today's show, Parma hits four and Chelsea smash six.
It's the most extraordinary hat-trick inside half an hour.
As Everton officially appeal that second points deduction. Could Xavi stay on at Barca?
It's Barcelona, so things change quite quickly, but at the moment everybody's quite positive.
And can Dortmund turn it around against Atleti?
To be honest, I think Dortmund are going to have to give something close to their best performance of the season to get through.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Michael Bailey.
We'll start in the Premier League and at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea hit Everton for six, but there was only one star of the show.
Jackson, and who's there to follow up again? Parma again! Pickford's given it away, and it's the most extraordinary hat-trick inside half an hour.
Parma scored the first perfect hat-trick in the Premier League since early last season. He's also the first Chelsea player to score a first-half hat-trick in the Premier League and the first to score in seven successive Premier League appearances at Stamford Bridge. And Parma didn't stop there. Once his teammates had stopped arguing over the ball for a penalty,
well, that's silly.
Nicholas Jackson and Noni Madueke, we're looking at you.
That shines a different light on the dressing room.
That does.
Parma got on with adding his fourth of the night.
It doesn't put him off. It's 5-0 for Chelsea, and Cole Palmer has four of the five.
That's now 9 out of 9 from the spot. Only Yaya Toure has converted more with a 100% record. OK, one more. Palmer is now level with Erling Haaland on 20 goals at the top of the Premier League scoring charts. There at the bridge with our Chelsea reporter, Simon Johnson.
I think one of the keys of Chelsea's attacking performance is this sort of new attacking trio behind Nicholas Jackson of Madueke on one wing, Mudryk on the other, and Palmer in the middle. And what it did, having these two flying wingers as such, is it gave Everton something else to worry about, that as much as their game plan must have been to get close to Palmer, they couldn't put all their resources into closing him down because they had these two pacey guys just constantly making runs in behind and threatening to get in behind them. And it just gave that Palmer just a little bit of space to work his magic. Yes, Cole Palmer will dominate the headlines, as he always does for Chelsea, because his end product is ridiculous. But I do think the pieces around him are sort of increasingly having an impact. So this is a big morale-boosting win ahead of the FA Cup semi-final against Manchester City. A positive evening, but with Chelsea, you always just feel there's one slip up just around the corner, so no one will be getting carried away.
So 6-0 and a great night for Chelsea, who are now 8 unbeaten and looking up, hoping for a top 6 finish. But it was a desperate one for Everton. Defeat leaves them 2 points clear of the relegation zone. All on the same day, they confirmed their appeal over that 2-point deduction for breaching profit and sustainability rules for a second time. Jacob Whitehead was also in West London to take in last night's action, and he's been writing all about the financial woes at Everton and Chelsea. Jacob, let's start with Everton. They've lodged their appeal. Nottingham Forest have already got one lodged against their four-point deduction. And it sounds like the Premier League are hoping to deal with all of this before the final day?
Yeah, so the Premier League's normal deadline is at the beginning of June, so just before the shareholders' meeting. We've actually expedited that by 2 weeks, which means that all of them will be heard by the last day of the season, and that will please just about everybody. Luton, Nottingham Forest will have a target to go for. Everton, after their performance just now, 6-0 loss to Chelsea, look as if they will really need that clarity on the last day of the season as well. But that only gives the Premier League a month to sort this out. It'll be a day or two long the appeal, and a further week for the panel to reach their decision after that.
Just one more on Everton. We've got the prospective takeover, a new stadium, lots of money being loaned to the club, basically to pay the bills, pretty much. How much are Everton in a state of flux at the moment?
Everton are totally in flux. There's nothing certain about this team, not their performance on the pitch, not what business they're going to do in the summer, not even who's going to be owning the club in a week's time. Tonight was a really high-stakes night for the club, but not just because they're in a relegation scrap, but because these discussions have been going on all day. Owner Farhad Moshiri took out a loan from MSP Sports Capital last year to finance the continued running of the club. That was due to be paid back midnight on Monday. And in theory, if it hadn't been paid or if an extension hadn't been agreed, then Moshiri could have lost his overall control of the club. Now, as it happens, just after the full-time whistle, we've heard and confirmed that an extension has been reached and agreed. So that means for now, the club is still in Moshiri's hands. He's still trying to finance sale to 777. The Premier League are taking a long, hard look at that. So really, there's multiple options still in play, and Everton have a long, long way to get out of this hole.
And we'll keep across it, of course. As for Chelsea, you've written a piece for The Athletic on how they're now a champagne club with a soda budget. Just bring us the headline from Chelsea's accounts. Is it safe to say there's going to be a lot of sales come the summer?
Yeah, so Chelsea's accounts are worse than really anybody truly expects them to be. They had the largest loss in the Premier League. The wage bill is expected to have gone down more than it did. They had the largest amortisation costs of any club ever in Premier League history. And it basically means that even though they just cleared the bar this year, next year it's likely to potentially be even worse due to even more amortisation coming in for players they've signed. Other signings, now a couple of players they've sold will be featured in next year's budget, but basically it looks as if they're going to have to do serious work to get under the cap.
Thanks, Jacob. Next up for Everton, a Sunday visit from fellow points deducted Nottingham Forest. And that, everyone, is what you call narrative. What a fabulous few days of European football we have in store, starting with the Champions League. Yes, it's the second leg of those quarterfinals. Tonight, Borussia Dortmund will look to turn around a 2-1 deficit when they host Atletico Madrid, while Paris Saint-Germain head to Montjuic hoping to do something special with Barcelona 3-2 up after the first leg in France. And let's start with that game and our Spanish football writer Dermot Corrigan. Dermot, this is not just a big night, but a big week for Barcelona.
Biggest Champions League game in quite a few seasons. Chance to go to the semi-finals for the first time in a long time. And then at the weekend, they have the Clásico coming up against Madrid. And it has been building up to this for a while because they were all down in the doldrums. Xavi decided he was going to go. They are unbeaten, have won most of their games since then. But now it's kind of on the line again. If things go well this week, suddenly it'll be, oh, look, Barca are, you know, close maybe to another Champions League final, you know, are in the back in the La Liga title race again. Xavi's, you know, fantastic manager. If things don't go so well and they're out of the Champions League and they lose to Madrid, suddenly the season's more or less over. So it's, quite a big few days for Barca, it's fair to say.
We know for the game against Paris Saint-Germain that Sergi Roberto and Andreas Christensen are both suspended. How's the rest of the team news looking for Xavi?
Yeah, he's got a couple of decisions to make, I guess. Like, big call over Pedri to make whether to play him in midfield because he's had such a hard time with injuries and, you know, hasn't looked great. You know, it takes him a while when he comes back to look his best. But in Paris last week, you know, came on for a cameo role and set up a really important goal for a team with that beautiful through pass. And he has that quality. And they put him up for the press conference today, which usually means that he's going to play. They don't have lots of options. So that's the main call. João Felix as well, going to be interesting to watch because he scored it at the weekend, hit the winner for them. it was kind of a team of players who were unlikely to start. Maybe he was kind of coming in the backups as a lot of players were rested. But Joao Felix does have that extra quality maybe. So I'm sure at some stage we'll see him. But it's a case of whether it's off the bench or in the starting 11.
Yes, indeed. It'll be interesting that you kind of touched on this a moment ago, but it clearly has been a really difficult season at Barcelona, but things also do seem to have settled down in recent weeks. So does any of that mean that Xavi could actually stay?
It does, really, because Barca have their financial problems. You know, the squad isn't what it was a few years ago, and they're still playing away from the camp now at the minute. So it's not as attractive a job as it was. And suddenly Xavi started to do better, started to look better as well, started to, you know, feel more confident. Speaking to some people who know him over the last couple of weeks, it's almost a bit like the club are after putting it back into his court, that Laporta, Deco have said a few times, you know, it's up to Xavi. If he really wants to stay, then he can stay. But again, it depends on how things go. That could turn around again quite quickly. The ball could go back over the net again to the other side, where they to you know, go out of the Champions League unexpectedly against Luis Enrique as well, and then for things not to go so well in the Clásico. So yeah, it's Barcelona, so things change quite quickly. But at the moment, everybody's quite positive, including Xavi and Laporta, and a lot of the fans looking forward to tonight's game.
Thanks, Dermot. One little subplot here is that PSG, Lille and Marseille were all given the weekend off by Ligue 1, so they would be nice and fresh for their European duties. Is that fair? We're about to find out. On to Germany, where Borussia Dortmund looked all but done in Madrid until they clawed a goal back late against Atleti. Seb Staffer-Bloor is in Germany for us and he joins us now. Seb, first up, how's the belief at Dortmund ahead of the second leg?
Bit shaky, Michael. Bit shaky, because I think it hasn't been a season of any great momentum, and so at no point really has any belief been able to germinate. And I think actually, during the first leg, there were so many characteristic errors and so many things that Dortmund supporters were seeing before that I think fundamentally there's a little bit of a lack of trust in this team, particularly against really high-powered opponents who Atletico Madrid clearly are. So hopeful, but probably not that optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like they came off maybe a bit lightly with just a 2-1 defeat from Madrid. So if they are to turn it around, who's going to be the difference maker for them?
I'm going to choose an area rather than a single player, because I think when Dortmund are at their best, their newly configured left side is very effective. So Ian Mattsson, the loanee from Chelsea, has been a revelation at fullback. And the way he works in combination with Jadon Sancho, a lot of Dortmund's best moments have featured those two in combination. Julian Brandt, of course, is incredibly important as a central playmaker. Marcel Sabitzer is going to have to play extremely well. You'd imagine also that Emre Can at the base of the midfield is going to matter an awful lot. It's a little bit of a broken record, but it's going to hinge on whether the defence can hold up. Nico Schlotterbeck is a sort of a rocks or diamonds player, and Mats Hummels has had a really, really good Champions League campaign. You'll remember particularly against Newcastle in those two games, he was absolutely outstanding. Again, against AC Milan, and you'd imagine there's a lot of responsibility on his head too and his shoulders. So yeah, it's shared around, and to be honest, I think Dortmund are going to have to give something close to their best performance of the season to get through.
And would that have to happen to keep their season alive? Is there anything else after this for Dortmund if they do exit the Champions League?
Well, not from a trophy perspective, but re-qualifying for the Champions League is going to be really, really important. And they're in a little bit of a duel with RB Leipzig for that fourth place. As with the situation in England, that's pending the resolution of the coefficient battle, the newly interesting UEFA coefficient. Germany has a slight edge at the moment over the Bundesliga, has a slight edge over the Premier League. But if Dortmund were to go out and if Bayern Munich were to lose to Arsenal, for instance, then it would very much be advantage Premier League and Dortmund having to finish fourth to re-qualify. So that would be left on the table, and that would be, I don't think it's vital for them. They've had a long, long stretch of uninterrupted Champions League football, but clearly things like revenue streams, the ability potentially to make some of those loan deals, Sancho, Mattsson, permanent at the end of the season and to reinvest, that kind of hinges on where they finish. So it's not quite on the beach time yet.
Thanks, Seb. And if you dig out a couple of screens, you can watch both of those Champions League quarterfinal second legs live from 8 p.m. in the UK on TNT Sports or 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. And there's live coverage of both games on The Athletic. I'm hosting the Barca versus PSG one, so hopefully I'll see you there. And finally, speaking of events on the continent, this happened last night.
Made it to 90 minutes, but in added time, are they about to lose 2 points here? And he's missed it! And he hasn't just missed it, it's the worst penalty you've seen, certainly this season, and maybe ever. Poor old Antti Budimir. What a moment.
Yes, that was the last kick of the game and a chance for Osasuna to draw level in La Liga. Instead, the home side lost 1-0 to Valencia. Oh dear, Budimir. That's your lot for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Michael Bailey. Your producers were Abby Patterson and Mike Zimmerman, with Ian McIntosh, our news hound, in the executive producer chair. And it's Abby Patterson with you tomorrow. Enjoy that, and until then, have a top Tuesday.
The Athletic.